The usual 5-hour drive from San Diego was condensed to 4.5, which put me back in Santa Teresa at a little after 8. I was still feeling wired. I decided to hit the office first, dropping off my typewriter and the briefcase full of notes before I headed home. I'd stop at a supermarket somewhere along the way and pick up just enough to get me through the next 2 days. Once I unloaded my duffel at home, I intended to grab a quick shower and then sleep for 10 hours straight, getting up just in time for a bite of supper at Rosie's down the street from me. There's nothing quite as decadent as a day in the sack alone. I'd turn my phone off, let the machine pick up, and tape a note to the front door saying, "Do not bother me." I could hardly wait. I expected the parking lot behind my office building to be deserted. It was Saturday morning, and the stores downtown wouldn't open until 10. It was puzzling, therefore, to realize that the area was swarming with people, some of whom were cops. My first thought was that maybe a movie was being shot, the area cordoned off so the cameras could roll without interruption. There was a smattering of onlookers standing out on the street, and the same general air of orchestrated boredom that seems to accompany a shoot. Then I spotted the crime scene tape, and my senses went on red alert. Since the lot was inaccessible, I found a parking place out at the curb. I removed my handgun from my purse and tucked it into my briefcase in the back seat, locked the car doors, and moved toward the uniformed officer who was standing near the parking kiosk. He turned a speculative eye on me as I approached, trying to decide if I had any business at the scene. He was a nice-looking man in his 30s, with a long, narrow face, hazel eyes, closely trimmed auburn hair, and a small mustache. His smile was polite and exposed a chip in one of his front teeth. He'd either been in a fight or used his central incisors in a manner his mother had warned him about as a child. "May I help you?" I stared up at the 3-story stucco building, which was mostly retail shops on the ground floor, businesses above. I tried to look like an especially law-abiding citizen, instead of a freelance private investigator with a tendency to fib. "Hi, what's going on? I work in that building, and I was hoping to get in."
"We'll be wrapping this up in another 20 minutes. You have an office up there?"
"I'm part of the second-floor insurance complex."
"What was it, a burglary?"
The hazel eyes did a full survey, and I could see the caution kick in. He didn't intend to disseminate information without knowing who I was.
"May I see some identification?"
"Sure. I'll just get my wallet," I said. I didn't want him to think I was whipping out a weapon. Cops at a crime scene can be edgy little buggers and probably don't appreciate sudden moves. I handed him my billfold, flipped open to my California driver's license, with the photostat of my PI license visible in the slot below. "I've been out of town, and I wanted to drop off some stuff before I headed home." I'd been a cop myself once, but I still tend to volunteer tidbits that are none of their business. His scrutiny was brief.
"Well, I doubt they'll let you in, but you can always ask," he said,
gesturing toward a plainclothes detective with a clipboard.
"Check with Sergeant Hollingshead."
I still didn't have a clue what was going on, so I tried again. "Did someone break into the jewelry store?"
"Homicide."
"Really?" Scanning the parking lot, I could see the cluster of police personnel working in an area where the body probably lay. Nothing was actually visible at that remove, but most of the activity was concentrated in the vicinity. "Who's been assigned to the case? Lieutenant Dolan, by any chance?"
"That's right. You might try the mobile crime lab if you want to talk to him. I saw him heading that direction a few minutes ago."
"Thanks." I crossed the parking lot, my gaze flickering to the paramedics who were just packing up.